good.
All right. Welcome back, Chris.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. We've got fresh drinks. Let's do part two of this thing real fast.
That's right. So we are up to number 8 on our list of 15 top 10 things not to do.
Right. Yep. Pump it real good, Phil.
All right.
So, AKA, don't learn mechanical systems from a fossil, right?
Yeah, the old school guys, they're coming around.
Yeah.
Bit by bit.
But really what we're saying is, like you and I, the houses we've been doing, I don't know, 9 out of 10 houses are...
Air source heat pumps.
Right. So
the heat pump...
is like ruling its back, man.
Yeah, it really is. Our loads have come way down, and we can handle it with these things. And these things, these heat pumps are pretty freaking efficient. Come on.
Yeah, and of course, if you don't know about ductless mini-split heat pumps or ground source heat pumps at this point, well, then you are a Sprout, and welcome. Welcome aboard. We're going to make sure...
You were just about to dig into it.
I went the other way.
That was good.
Because they're on greenbuildingadvisor.com, probably, and they're just flooding their brain, their green little brain, full of awesome knowledge. So, this is not the podcast to learn about ductless mini splits, but it is the podcast to learn that, hey, you need to go learn about ductless mini splits because they're very efficient for the low demand house, which yours probably is because you've done all these other things.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's a heat pump, you've got your air source heat pump, and you have your ground source heat pump.
Right. And can we say, don't say geothermal, all right?
Yeah.
Just because you sound like a dink. I think that's what we said on the slide.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it's technically not wrong, but you kind of think of like, oh yeah, that those guys are just way below the ground.
Right. I'm in Iceland.
Yeah.
I'm in Yellowstone, getting tapping into the magma.
Yeah, that's not what we're doing here.
No.
We are just using the natural heat that's subgrade.
I remember at the conference you went down to the ground source heat pump guys, and they had a big sign over their booth, geothermal. It was really big, and you're like, don't you guys really want to just say ground source heat pumps? And they kind of shrugged and they're like, yeah, but everyone calls it geothermal. Lighten up.
Yeah.
Who cares?
They were nice about it. They said, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. That's absolutely wrong.
Right. Yeah. Geothermal is wrong, but that's how everyone knows it. So. But if you want to be one of the cool geeky guys like Phil and me.
Wait, did you say cool geeky guys?
That's an oxymoron.
I love that.
I know. It's the year of the geek.
It's got to be one word that puts it together, the cool.
And we'll put it on a t-shirt and make 6 digits.
Like
don't stop being an air hole. All right.
stop being an air hole
don't
for
be an
a
air
second.
Hole. For God. Oh my gosh.
So that was number 8. Number 9, Chris.
Yeah.
Keep it clean.
Right. Or AKA tonic, not toxic.
I just like that because it was a revelation for me to know when I realized that tonic was the opposite of toxic.
I know, and
oh,
I did,
yeah.
And I learned that when we were putting this together, and you told me.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh yeah, so like a gin and tonic, and that makes sense because when the gin and tonic, this is a little. We should be having gin and tonics.
We should be. And actually, by the way, the fifth gin and tonic, it's a gin and toxic.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. No, I mean it used to be the British were. Tonic, they'd take tonic, which is tonic water or whatever, but at the time they thought it would keep, scurvy away and other things while they're down in Africa and all that stuff, and they'd mix their gin with it, and so they had the gin and tonic, and that was their drink of choice, and boy, look at it now.
Wasn't it the lemon that kept the scurvy away?
Probably, yeah. Probably, but, Brits, limeys. It was limes.
Limes, right. Yeah. Right, so, when we make our tight houses... you can't do that in a vacuum.
Right.
You really have to pay attention to all the stuff inside the house.
That's right. All these materials that we bring into our environment, we bring into our house, and I think of those FEMA trailers. You remember back when Katrina hit, and so many people were housed in brand new FEMA trailers, and they were coming down with all kinds of ailments, respiratory ailments, and that was because they were just inundated with cheap materials within these little boxes that were being cooked in the sun, and these FEMA trailers were just filled with formaldehyde. It was, all the wood products and materials, and they were new, and it was just wreaking havoc with their bodies. Poor people. who'd been through so much anyway.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and you've got, you know, spray foam goes in, and they walk in, they're wearing hazmat suits, Tyvek suits, basically. And, man, those projects don't smell healthy, right?
No, I mean, when, you know, you see these guys who apply the spray foam, and they're wearing the astronaut suit.
Yeah, and you're like, wow.
That's going in my healthy house?
Right. I don't think so. Well, are you doing a lot of spray foam?
No, we really try hard to avoid it.
Yeah, me too.
We use to fill in some gaps.
Yep. It's hard to avoid completely, but anyway. So what else? Number 10. We said pushing solar first is shady. And that is because, you know, you want to grab that low-hanging fruit first, right?
And solar is not that.
Right. There's so many things to do before you do that. I mean, for someone to say, we're green, we do solar. Well, wow. You know, yeah, solar is cool, and that's a great way to provide your electricity. Right. And we're advocates of solar.
Right.
But there's just so much you could do before that.
Right. If that's where you start your conversation about how sustainable your buildings are, that's not going to fly. People are going to see through that. And if you hear somebody talking like that, then clearly they don't know what they're talking about. They're using that because it's a billboard to sustainability.
Right.
You know, there's a house, there's a building, Chris, on Route 1 in Falmouth on your way to Cumberland.
Yes.
Yeah, and you can look at it, and they've spackled it with solar panels on the roof.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 And, you know.
Yeah, that's green.
I've been in that building, and there's, you know, there's thermal bridging all over that place. It's got fiberglass in the walls, and they've got solar panels on the roof.
That's green.
Yeah, yeah. So
you can buy your green, like Al Gore does, you know.
Right.
Like he's got
carbon,
like,
offsets.
Carbon offsets, and that's honorable and great. But if you're starting your project saying, we're going to be green because we're going to put solar panels on this, done and done. You are not done. You're a sprout, dude. Get in there, dig in there. There's so much to do. We on the slide, I think in the slideshow, we've got the pyramid. Remember the pyramid where?
That's right.
It's like the food pyramid. There's like things.
That was Martin Holliday's pyramid, wasn't it?
Well, it was a post he put in. I think it was the Minnesota Department of Energy. I think it was Minnesota.
So this is three cycled right now.
Yeah, it's like been. You're right. This is like the 6 degrees from when it was really originated. Okay. But check out our slide. Things you should start off with first and then move on up the pyramid.
Right. I will say that the cost of solar panels is coming down.
Yeah.
And it will continue to. And I think that incentives will dry up as those costs come down. But right now, we're pretty close. We're closer than most people think for solar being effective.
Oh, yeah.
Right off.
And in fact, if you're not financing your house, my God, you should be buying solar.
Right. If you got the cash, then you're paying 8 cents a kilowatt hour, which
is
pretty hot. I mean, most places in the country.
Right. True.
That's good. You know, we pay, what, 15 cents a kilowatt hour here?
Yeah. Between 13 and 15.
Connecticut is 20.
Yeah.
Man.
Hawaii, it's off the charts. Yeah. It's $1 million. Yeah.
And Canada's like 5.
Why? Yeah. How do they do it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay. It's
good. Okay.
It's good.
All right, let's move on, eh?
Okay.
Number 11. You get to say it.
Chris, go blow or door yourself.
Yeah, blow or door me, Phil.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about blow or doors. If you don't know what ACH 50 is, man, I feel bad for you. I do. Because...
Again, you're talking to the newbies, Chris. Be nice.
Well, you're right.
And
we should be welcoming.
In defense, that there's a number of metrics out there to measure air tightness. So there's effective leakage area.
Right. And what we're talking about, of course, is
shell.
Hooking up a blower door to your project at the end, or even better, midway through the project when you can actually access, shell test your project. Windows are in, sheathing's in. Insulation's not, sheetrock is not, and you can blow a door test at that point. That's a great time because you can find leaks and you can plug them, and then you can move on. Mm-hmm. That's great. But
And if you're an architect, put that in your specs. Write it down somewhere. This building needs to be blower door tested.
And if you get that
three times in the process.
Nice. And you get that phone call from the builder like, whoa, 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 hey, I just read this spec. We're supposed to blower door this thing. Are you blower dooring this or am I? You can say, well, someone is, and we can, I know some people. If you can't do that, I can do that. And of course, if you are going after some rating system, if you're doing either LEED or Passive House or something, it has to be a third party,
right?
Or Energy Star. But the point here, folks, is there's a way, there's a very easy way to test your building to see how much it leaks air, and that's called a blower door test. Learn about it, use it. Anyone who's green is doing it.
If you don't do it, you're an air hole.
You're an air hole. You're being an air hole. Stop doing that.
Right. Number 12, Chris.
Yes.
Touch the sweet spot.
Touch it, Phil.
That's it, baby.
And we're
you know it when you touch it.
That's right. And we talked about this earlier in part one, but we're looking for that sweet. If you're energy modeling, it's easy to find the sweet spot. And by that,
well, I wouldn't say easy.
No, easy is not the right word. It's hard.
Right, it is hard. Yeah. But the energy model will certainly help, and having a builder on board is vital. Or having someone who knows what things cost.
Yes.
Because that's what you're looking for here. You're looking for the optimization point between costs and energy efficiency.
Right. We're making the envelope really robust. We're introducing solar gain. We're able to reduce energy demand to the point where we can shrink the mechanical systems. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, you should see some savings in shrinking the mechanical systems that will offset the cost of making the house better in performance. So that would be the sweet spot. You hit that, you're a hero. Otherwise, you failed, and everyone's angry. So
for newbies, we've posted this on past episodes. We'll throw it on again. The spreadsheet that we've developed in-house that allows people to compare multiple scenarios to find that sweet spot.
That's right. So all the cool kids are doing it. Yeah. So get in there. Number 13, sustainability is design, dummy. We said in the slide, because I feel that way. I mean, we picked on Tom Kundig directly in our presentation.
Yeah.
Now, Tom,
he's got this beautiful building made out of Corten steel.
He has more than one. My God, right. He's to say he's not good is terrible. I mean, he's great, but I have this love hate. You know, I see his work, and I'm like, God, I love that. I love that. God, I hate that. I love that. Because look at those thermal bridges. It's just like this big steel wide flange that just goes out and supports something. It's just bridging right through.
And you know that's raining on the inside of that house.
Yeah, it's just energy inefficient. I think in our slides we gave him an F+.
Yeah. It's really pretty.
Right.
But your building is failing.
It's failing. It's big old fail, but he gets the plus because it looks pretty.
Right.
And we like it from a design standpoint. But F+.
Right.
So what we're saying is no longer can architecture ignore energy efficiency and sustainability as a metric for good design.
That's right.
It's one and the same.
That's right. It's not a separate thing now.
Right. And for you to do your beautiful glass box with steel pins that go out and make this cool form is
you might as well have a building that's falling down.
You might as well, because in 10 years you're going to look like an idiot.
That's right.
Idiot.
Especially given our climate.
Right. See, like, Philip Johnson, he can be forgiven. It was the 60s.
Right.
Gas was cheap. Everyone didn't care. You know, beautiful house. Love him. Love that.
That's right. People who design glass houses
shouldn't. Something clever.
Something clever.
Damn these drinks. We could be so much better. If only we had some good radio hosts
in
here.
Let's move on. That way we don't have to think about it.
All right.
Chris, what's number 14?
Don't lead your clients down a dark alley.
Yeah.
And by that, we're not picking on lead. God knows.
We are a little bit.
Yeah, okay, we are. But, you know, you and I, well, I know I was on the board. I helped... You know, I was on the board that founded the, you know, main chapter of the U.S. Green Building Council here. I loved the lead and was a part of it when it was a pilot project. But very quickly, you see that, people become point chasers. And that's when lead, takes a turn for the worse.
Right. Respect lead and use it as you need it, but don't make it the end all.
Right.
Make a great building first.
Make a great building. If you want that certificate, if you want that plaque, if you want validity from a third party. I imagine if you were for example, a developer, and this is a house that you're going to put on the market, and you're saying it's green, it helps to have a respectable third party say, yes, it is green, but you are your lead silver, your lead gold, your lead platinum. That means something, yes.
Or if you've got a builder who hasn't really done this before.
Yeah.
And you want to keep him in check.
Yeah.
And he's got to watch his waste.
Yeah.
For instance.
Yeah.
He's just not doing the right things. And he's got to make an airtight building.
Right. This is a great form.
It's a great tool.
Yeah. It's a great tool, a great structure in which he has to provide certain documentation that proves that he does these things. So it's a good tool. But to put lead on a pedestal and say lead equals green is not right. It's lead house is a greenhouse, but lead is not the end all be all of it.
There's two great builders in the state.
Only two?
Peter Taggart and Wright Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Had
yeah.
only done one. I don't know if that's still the case, but when I talked to him, I think it was maybe a year and a half ago, they still had each only done one lead building.
Is that right?
And I was shocked. Yeah.
Not right.
They may have done more since then, but they had one lead home.
Interesting. Sorry. Oh, lead home. Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought about it, and at first I was like, really? You guys are really good, and you know how to do this.
Yeah.
And the point was, they're really good, and they know how to do this.
Yes.
And it's not vital they chase the points anymore.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, because, I've got a few lead plaques on the wall in the conference room.
Yeah.
And I've got a few in the drawer that I...
Yeah, we have a stack of them. We have a stack of literally eight of them. And we talked about it the other day. Are we going to put these back up? What do we do with these?
And you're like,
Yeah.
It's lead. All right, moving on. We're not bashing lead, but we're kind of bashing lead. But it's just a rating system. It's a rating system is what it is.
Yeah.
And you pay for it, and that's the thing. So, all right. Well, I'm sorry. 15.
Watch your language, Chris.
I will, you son of a...
Hey.
and of course, by this we mean... We're out there as green architects. We're the torchbearers for this. Mm-hmm. And when I say we, I mean you guys too, because this, I mean whoever's listening to this, if we're out there talking like a green pamphlet, this is all meaningless and it becomes like a green pamphlet. There's some real tangible things that connect to the everyday homeowner. It's not just about being green. In fact, stop using that word.
And the other things that happen, Chris, I would say that, yes, you and I want to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely, we do.
Yeah.
But it may not catch on with that language.
Right.
We're trying to get this across to the general public. And if we're going to make an impact, climate change is coming freaking fast.
Yeah.
We may already be too late. So we have to change the words that we use when we talk to other people, because it doesn't really matter to most people that we're going to use your money to save the world.
Right.
We want to talk about durability and quality and comfort, and that it's a good investment.
Investment. I use that word quite a bit with my clients, because it takes away the stigma of, you say something is green.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, if they're a liberal hippie, great. That word is friendly and nice, and you want to snuggle with it. But if you're not, if you haven't, already drinking the Kool-Aid, drinking? Did I just say that? My God, edit me.
Dranked is the pot. Is the
I just drank me some of the Kool-Aid. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. So
the word investment is the if you're
right. So if you say this house,
you're talking to a conservative guy,
right?
That's how you're gonna get through. It's all about the numbers.
I'm not gonna say you want these windows because of the solar heat gain coefficient, and they're gonna save on fossil fuels, and that's gonna help save the environment. You're gonna reduce your carbon footprint. I'm gonna say you want these windows because they're very high quality. You can stand next to them when it's 0 degrees outside and not feel like you're standing next to a cold window that you need a sweater, for the draft and just the heat suck that comes off of you. You're in an awesome house.
Right. Do you want a high quality building? If not, that's fine.
Right. We can do that single pane glass thing that you mentioned.
Or would you like to give money to save the spotted owl? it's not going to fly.
I love the spotted owl. It's our mascot around here in Briburn.
So watch your language. Right. Change your language.
All right. You want to recap them all? Let's just do it. In fact, maybe we can do drum roll sounds. I don't know. If Sheila's up for it. But let's just do it. Yeah, and don't do it on the table.
Number 15.
Yeah. Watch your language.
Number 14.
That's you.
Don't lead your clients down a dark alley.
Number 13, sustainability is design, dummy.
Number 12, touch the sweet spot.
Number 11, blow or door me, Phil.
Number 10, pushing solar first, shady.
Number 9, keep it clean.
Number 8, pump it.
Pump it real good. Number 7, bigger isn't better.
You should know.
Oh.
Number 6, do your modeling before the runway.
Nice. Number 5, don't wait to integrate.
Group hug. Number 4, belt, suspenders, and clean underwear.
And also redundancy.
And redundancy.
Number 3, don't cross that bridge when you come to it.
Number 2, raise your glass, Chris.
Thanks. Number 1, and the number 1 thing not to, or number 1 thing, don't be an air hole. All right.
All right, should we go out on a nice song?
Yes, what's your song? Let's please.
All right. One of my favorite bands of all time, The Walkmen.
Yeah.
Hamilton Lighthouser, which is, I always laugh at his name. He's the lead singer.
Why do you laugh at his name?
Hamilton Lighthouser. He doesn't sound like a rock star. He's the nerd who sits in the front of the class and
Hamilton
knows the
Lighthouser.
Answers to all the math questions. Either that or he's the, you know, he's on a yacht and he's sailing.
Let's raise the spinnaker. Hamilton Lighthouser. All right, moving on.
All right, so his new album is called Black Hours, and this is a great song. It's totally laid back. I mean, laid back to the point that he's actually lying down in the video, which kind of cracks
me up. Oh, really?
That's
awesome.
Yeah, it's called I Retired. Chris, someday you and I will retire on this.
Awesome. I look forward to that day. Until then, let's just keep this thing going. What do you think?
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Always know.